From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
Mark Mone, welcome back to the program. Always good to have you on board.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
Busy summer so far?
It's been extremely busy. Yeah. We hope we get some summertime in before fall semester starts.
Yeah. You know, I think that's always true. People just always have this assumption that, you know, once a semester ends, it just, you know, you just close up shop and you go on vacation.
Yeah. I remember many years when I first got into administration, people would say, so is your summer going well? You're not working, are you? You know, summer's off, right? not the case at all. It's sometimes we like to say there's just a little more time between crises.
Yeah. Well, and we've got plenty to talk about, not necessarily crises, but certainly one thing which I think caught a lot of people off guard was that you were very quickly in the market for a new men's basketball coach. That was not something that you planned in a way to begin your summer.
No, you're right. We recently hosted the Board of Regents meeting, and it was Friday morning that we had our coach at the time, Laval Jordan, who addressed the Regents. And I had no idea that Laval would that weekend be courted so heavily by Butler, but that's his home in many ways, alma mater. He was MVP, and it just made so much sense for Val. It's the one job in the country, when I heard about it, that I was very, very concerned. And even though he was one of a large number of candidates and ultimately even a very large number of finalists, I just had a feeling, and sure enough, by Monday night, he was sewn up. But the good news is it was about a week later that we were able to land a wonderful coach, Pat Baldwin from Northwestern. We think we've got a great coach, and just keep the momentum going, all the wonderful building, the foundation work that Coach Jordan had established. Coach Pat can really build on that. So we've got a great, I think, future ahead of us in men's basketball.
Coach Jordan came on board at a time when, you know, a lot of people wondered what the future of that program was and whether there was a future for that program. And I'm sure that made it very difficult for the athletic department, also for some of the student athletes to consider. What would you consider to be his major accomplishments with the team?
Well, I think, you know, you're right. There was a painful transition there with Coach Val. But what he did is he recruited over the year a strong set of players, but he also instilled a really powerful sense of confidence and teamwork. And how that manifested itself is he took players that I think you could describe as probably across the nation, if you look at basketball players, average, and he turned them into something that was extraordinary, extraordinarily above average in terms of being able to take a run that really set some unusual records for a team 10th seed to go in and win a game in the finals was unheard of, and then to take them to the finals themselves to become within 6 points of going to the NCAA conference or the NCAA finals, that was absolutely remarkable. So he's done some great things and really brought solidity, you know, and stability into the program after the transition, and that's what really sets the stage then.
Mm-hmm. So you did a very quick turnaround in the hiring of Pat Baldwin. How did that come about?
So I'll give Amanda Braun, our athletic director, a lot of credit. I'll give our community supporters, people who are involved, as well as the search committee. They did a remarkable job, and I think it also speaks to not just within the Horizon League, but nationally in terms of the number of individuals who came out for that job. It was something that showed that there's a real strong pool of folks who are very interested in playing and leading the men's basketball program. I think part of that speaks to the fact that we've got a real strong student athlete focus. We've got a long history in athletics overall of winning, and you know, we take good care of our athletes.
Mm-hmm. So Coach Baldwin has a impressive track record himself in the game. What are some of the characteristics, or what are some of the things that you expect him to focus on now as the new men's coach?
So we had a press conference last week, and I'll tell you, I focused in terms of my comments on a few things that I really am impressed by with Coach Baldwin. In any interview, you get to the point where you turn the table and it's the time for the interviewee to ask questions. And when I said to him, what questions would you like to ask me and what areas can I provide more background on at UWM, he said, my first question is, you know, not all the players are going to be as good in the academic side as they are on the field. And sometimes, you know, you have to provide that additional support. what are the tools and resources, what are the programs that you have in place to support the athletes off the basketball court? And that told me a lot about what his values were. It told me a lot about what he cared about. And I said, I explained the programs and the support and resources that we have. And then I told him, you know, why I thought that was important. And so it's the student and student athlete that I think is important. He is all about a strong defense. He's himself as a guard. He's got a long legacy of that. But he's also learned an awful lot as a coach about the offensive side. So the player development. And that means two things to me when he talked about that. It's not just the ball handling skills, the fundamentals, and really operating as a team, but it's character and integrity and the types of things that he talked about in terms of developing these young men into stable figures in a lot of different aspects of life. And boy, in athletics, that's really vital, you know, for us to have that kind of role modeling. The third piece is the community engagement, where he's not hesitant. He's not shy. He's got great experience and track record in terms of having no hesitation to really build the kind of community support, alumni, and campus activities. And then finally, he's got a track record and aspirations for getting us into the top of the Horizon League. He's about winning. And if you've heard him and get an opportunity to interact with him, Dave, I hope you do. you won't help but be impressed. I think he's just a great guy.
Building those kind of characteristics for the athletes is especially program and I would say important in this kind of a program where, you know, let's be honest, the odds of some of these guys moving on from this to the NBA are fairly remote. And so I would say, you know, some of these kids are probably playing on their last team, and preparing them for the future beyond athletics, I think, has to be part of the sales job that the coach has to do with the players.
I think you're right historically, but here's my aspiration, why I won't take that as just a way that I'd approach the future. I'd say, let's build a team that actually does position us from a recruiting perspective and a winning perspective, that we do have players that are going on to the NBA. Let's take that away. Let's say that's history. Let's look at that in the rear view, and let's look through the bigger window, which is our front view, and let's really make this a strong, aspiring program where we are able to win regularly in our league. And when I say that, I mean winning the Horizon League and going on and actually having games that we go into the NCAA competition at the end of every year and do well and go far into that. That's my aspiration, for us to routinely get into that winning type of position and build the program strengths. We had, going into the MLB 2 weeks ago, we had one of our baseball players that was recruited the highest seed ever, and he's going on to play in the MLB, and we have other sports where people are All-American, and there's no reason why basketball, with the support and how competitive Milwaukee has been to some extent, but especially is going to be in the future, that's where my vision is at, to really build a strong, remarkable program that's exciting, that fills that Panther Arena routinely and gets this town really jazzed up.
Well, seeing you're the guy on your watch, we became a Research One University. I guess I shouldn't put that past you. You just might achieve that goal. Let's move from the game of sports to the game of politics, if we could. As we are sitting here and recording this, there is still no state budget. There is still a lot of discussion going on in Madison as to when that budget might be approved. But I know that the proposed budget, as it stands right now, has to make you feel pretty good.
We're in a stronger position than we've been in a long time. You're absolutely right that if you look back across the last 12 years, I don't think we've had a budget that has, if you put the combination of operating budget and capital budget together, hands down, this would be the strongest budget. Now, all that said, you know, I'm holding my fingers together. I'm crossing my toes. It's something we hope is maintained until we get this budget through. And what I mean specifically is that we, on the operating budget side, have some possibility for compensation increases that we have not had in many, many years. And I'm not talking about extreme. I'm talking about 2% in the fall of 2018, 2% in the spring of 2019. So they're a ways off. But when you've only had over a 10-year period, 1.5% as a base raise and then a 1.75 as a one-time, you really fall behind. So we've got faculty and staff that are significantly behind, and you've probably been seeing the articles in the press about the number of state workers leaving state employment because of this. The number one reason is compensation. So it's challenging in that regard. But we also have some performance-based funding opportunities that I'm excited about. What I'm particularly excited about is that we're able to compare ourselves to our peers and give me that kind of playing field, and I want to go out and really show what we can do with respect to retention, graduation, and move up in those areas. And then on the capital side, there's some great news there. UW-Milwaukee has done quite well, and I give a lot of credit to our friends in Madison that have seen ways to support and understand what we mean to the region, but also as an engine for the state. And so capital projects include the infrastructure work for the Northwest Quad, used to be Columbia St. Mary's. We have some necessary funding for the dorms, infrastructural needs that'll be filled there. There's a lot of things that haven't been addressed in terms of things for our engineering and chemistry buildings. Some work in athletics need to be done, IT infrastructure, but it's a good budget compared to what we've had.
I kind of feel like there's this bottleneck of things that once the budget is approved, if it gets approved your way, there's going to be like this incredible burst of activity.
Yeah, we do have that, and part of that is because we've been zeroed out, and we're not alone in the UW system. We've had that for the last biennial budget as well. So to make some movement, it really is going to free some things up, and we'll break out, and more good comes. You know, if you look at the return on investment, if you look at what this campus is doing, we put 5,600 graduates into some of the highest demand fields, into the growth areas of this region. And for us to move ahead in nursing and number of healthcare occupations, to make a difference in engineering, computer science, you go down the fields in terms of helping with the film industry, helping with water technology and a number of other fields. We're doing it. We're, you know, our students are going out there making just remarkable difference. So investments in us help the region on a lot of levels.
So I want to pick apart some of the elements of the budget which you just highlighted. So first of all, the restoration of the $50 million lapse from the 15-17 biennial budget. If that money is in fact restored, what happens? I mean, do you simply go backwards and plug those holes, or do you have new uses for those dollars?
So what that means is that was funds that, what that was a lapse from is that last biennial budget, there was a proposed $300 million cut. It ended up being a $250 million cut with $50 million of that lapsing, so that we now actually do get, per biennial budget year, $25 million. It's basically essentially seen as a restoration of that. That goes into our budget. So we just hope and keep our fingers crossed again that those funds are allocated on a better than proportional average. And why I say that is that you know, that's the, again, the needs and the value of what UW-Milwaukee can do. So that is important, and that is not just waving away a loss we would have had. That is an infusion of funds. So that's pivotal. It's really critical, and that will be a way that when the state gives you an allocation or says you can give raises, they don't always fund a lot of that or all of it. So this gives us an opportunity to actually be able to provide that compensation. So that's what a portion of that would be planned for.
Well, I was actually going to ask you about that, because my understanding is that of the funding that is being talked about for the compensation plan, about 30% of that is money that is still kind of unclear as to where that money's coming from.
Yeah, that's right. And with a payroll, of our magnitude, it's substantial when you have to provide a 2% raise for 3,800 employees. You know, that's all that's going to do, to your earlier question, is it's not going to help close the gap that much, because the rest of the world continues to move on. A lot of organizations every year pay 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% for raises on average. And when you haven't been paying any for years, you know, 2% here, 2% there does not close that gap. But at least it keeps it more competitive. And what it does more than anything, in my opinion, is that it really is it's a morale booster. It's a statement of confidence, and it's a bit of restoration, even if it doesn't close the gap completely. It's a good start. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2% and 2%, that's my goodness, we have not had that in so long. It's just, you know, manna from heaven.
Yeah. You also mentioned the performance-based funding, which we've talked about in this program before. Who sets the metrics, and how difficult will it be for campuses such as UWM to meet those targets?
Ultimately, the Board of Regents approves and helps develop the plan for every campus. And so we'll be working with system administration, and we'll be looking at a number of different areas of performance funding. And of course, several of those, the categories that will be critical will be student outcomes. We'll also look at efficiency measures and the workforce. Those are the categories. There's two different student ones. There's workforce element and efficiency. We will have to establish goals based on what are, in terms of all those areas, what our peer institutions are doing and where we are relative to them. We'll have to set growth objectives in those areas, as well as what we need to maintain. As far as how hard it will be to achieve those, we're unique. UWM is the only campus in the UW system that has both the research and access mission. And what that means is that research is remarkably expensive, not just hiring faculty that are capable of doing the world-class research, but the labs, the support they need, the graduate student support. And the business model is turned upside down from a regular model. What I mean by that is that with graduate students, typically you pay them, they don't pay you. You're paying graduate student stipends, and then you have 10 to 15 students for a faculty member that is completely different than, say, a campus that might have 300 to 400 students per faculty that they're all paying tuition. So it's a completely different business or revenue model. So that's expensive research, but to make those contributions that we do in solving all the problems, that's part of our mission. The access mission, on the other hand, is very, very expensive as well, to have smaller class sizes, to have a little more remediation help, to have a lot of the online assistance, the tutoring, flipped classrooms, and all the things that we do, I think, quite well. Those are both expensive. So putting that all together, it's not easy to move those things. And they don't, when we talk about retention or closing the achievement gap or graduation rates, good news here is that we have been improving retention every year for the last five. I've been going on my fourth year in this role, and we have moved that number 1% up every single year. So we're fifth year of closing gaps, and we're going to continue that. And with the help that we've received from UW System and the promise of more, or the potential for more, I see us continuing to move up and being very aggressive and focusing a lot of our efforts. I give our provost and a lot of our academic leadership a lot of credit, as well as a lot of our student advising help. And we have a unique audience here. And so it's vitally important that we get students through faster, more affordably, and into the workforce quicker.
If the budget's approved in the form that we're looking at right now, you're still going to be working with a tuition freeze, a tuition freeze that keeps going on. Now, does that some of that money that we talked about earlier coming in, you know, offset those cuts, or are tuition cuts still a problem?
They're still a problem, because really what a tuition freeze is in effect, it's a budget cut, because of the way that all our costs generally tend to increase an awful lot, whether it's on the maintenance side or on healthcare costs or other types of things that continue to grow. Even when we have a reduction in our employee headcount, we've lost over 300 positions over the last 3 years to deal with budget cuts. We will have costs that go up in a general sense. For example, if we have a staff or faculty member leave, market wages have continued to grow, and typically we have to increase the pay level for that replacement position. In a lot of organizations, your senior people make more. In our case, our senior people have been held back for so long that we're hiring at a market level in a lot of areas that are more expensive. So costs go up, and so a freeze really does become essentially a budget cut.
Mm-hmm. We talked about a couple of months ago on this program, not only about the state budget, but what was going on in the federal budget, and which is still, you know, even a bigger question, I think, than even the state budget right now. You know, I know that a lot of the research projects, which hopefully allow UWM to maintain and sustain the Research One status, are funded with a lot of federal grants. What's going on there?
You know, one of the things I think captures it in a nutshell is that with us being a newly minted Research One University, we don't have the slack. We just barely made it to be one of the top 115 research universities out of 4,665 in the country. But we have about the leanest, not only infrastructure, but the amount of federal budget support. So we don't have the slack. We're not like a campus that has, you know, if we go to a University of Illinois Chicago, which is a peer institution, you know, they have $380 to $400 million in federal research funds because they have medical schools, public health. They've got this long track record of getting that. You could take 10 to 20% of that budget. I'm not advocating that, but you could, you know, they have slack and it still wouldn't probably harm them as much. For us, with about in terms of total research expenditures approaching $80 million. If you look at what's going on with NIH, that's the National Institutes of Health, they're proposing a 21% cut. We get the majority of our funds from the National Science Foundation, or NSF. A proposed cut to them from the federal budget right now is about 11%. And they're also talking about a 10% cap on facilities and the administrative expenses. So all in, we would anticipate not only dramatic cuts to our research, which very much threatens our Research One status and all the projects that we have underway, which is more important than this, our status. It's really, what are the outcomes of our research? The drugs that that are solving the Alzheimer's, nighttime agitation, or the cancers, or different treatments for dementia, epilepsy, or the engineering applications that allow batteries to last longer and bridges to be supported more strongly, and on and on and on. Those are the real impacts. There's a big other piece of the federal budget, and that is for our students, and I can't not mention that. It's so important when we talk about work-study programs, relief from some of the interest from student loans, a variety of different gear-up and TRIO pre-college bridge programs that are so important in an access university. This is what's at stake. And I have to tell you, we're very, very, I could not be more concerned about those impacts. The relief or the respite that I hope comes is that, you know, Congress does see a way through to reverse some of these proposed cuts.
Mm-hmm. Also, at the beginning of June, you played host to the Board of Regents, which you mentioned. What was the theme? I know they come every year to campus to do this, but was it just focusing on please send us money, or what was the intent?
Well, I'll tell you, good news is the Regents have absolutely been supportive of giving money. They want to try to provide that support. And of course, they're helping with lobbying and working with the legislature and the governor. The big key that we're trying to impress, and I think the exciting part of the story for UW-Milwaukee, is the concept of innovation and impact. What we're doing to innovate in light of the challenges, we're not down. We're not beaten. We're not calling it quits by any means. We're staying strong and doing some remarkable things. We're moving forward with the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. We're looking at how we consolidate programs. We're looking at moving ahead on areas in water, in entrepreneurship, on connected systems, a lot of different things that are exciting. What we're doing in the education community with M-Cubed. We had presentations with Superintendent Driver, Dr. Martin, the president of MATC, and myself talking about updates like we did last month on your show. So we're really innovating and having significant impact. And we talked about some of those different areas of impact. A lot of exciting stuff, and some great receptions in the evenings to celebrate and recognize some of those things.
Yeah. I'm sure as the Regents usually hold their meetings in Madison, of course, but occasionally go to the other campuses as well. They come annually to Milwaukee, and I'm sure the message is somewhat different because UWM has the connections in the community through the research, which has to be different than most of what they hear from other campuses.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, you don't have, you know, in all the other communities, the Fortune 500 companies where representatives can come in, such as Blake Moret from Rockwell, who spoke to the Regents, the individuals who can come in and speak about entrepreneurial activities and the types of things that, that we're doing on those firsthand types of impact, to have the secretary of WEDC come in and address the group and talk about not only statewide issues, but what's happening here in Milwaukee, for us to help make those connections, and also to show, to showcase really how our diversity exists and how important that is to this state. We have had people come talk to the Regents, like Tim Sheehy from MMAC, and one of his key points was that, look, the workforce is incredibly diverse, and it's increasingly diverse, and if we don't take advantage of that, we're hurting ourselves from the state's regional, the state and the region's economic impact. And we've got to do more to support campuses like UWM, the most diverse campus in the state, to provide more of that talent in places that we desperately need it to grow this state.
Mm-hmm. We talked about being summertime and some people thinking that nothing goes on, but I know on the UWM campus you've been very busy and will continue to be, and you've got a number of retreats focusing on some of the initiatives. Tell us about those.
So a couple just come to mind. We've got a group that has been focusing a lot on all our student success efforts in terms of retention and quality of education, graduation rates. That's called the Chancellor's Enrollment Management Action Team, and that group had a full retreat a couple of weeks ago, and they really had some strong takeaways in terms of giving more focus to their work. And I think it's helpful to provide energy and renewed emphasis on the areas that need to be attended to. Last week, we had my cabinet and expanded cabinet retreat, which is where we include all the governance groups, leadership across the campus, where we focused on how do we really build on the strategic opportunities that we've worked on for the last year to focus with more impact on our student learning outcomes and achievement in those areas, to look at how we continue to build on our research success, engage with this community in even greater ways. So those are some neat retreats, and people come back with I think motivation and ideas to really continue to make UWM an even better campus.
Mm-hmm. You're busy, I know, building support within the various alumni groups, and I know you were traveling around to Minneapolis and Port Washington and points in between. What's the purpose of those?
You know, this year has been our 60th anniversary, so we're going out and we're really celebrating and engaging the alumni in a way we've never done before. We have had tours, Black, Gold, and Bold. We've had other events, but nothing is systematic where I've been on the West Coast, East Coast, South, and points in between. And you're right. We went to Twin Cities the other night, and it's so neat to engage. We had probably 45 alumni that came out, and a number of notable individuals that really want to engage. They want to tell their story. So it builds excitement, and it builds visibility and support. And ultimately, one of the key goals is the philanthropic aspirations that the campus has, as we're in a very successful capital campaign. It really helps with building that kind of support. But the idea of alumni development and getting chapters revved up in even greater ways really helps with a lot of different efforts that the campus is making. And today we have 180,000 alumni, and while the majority of those are in Wisconsin, there's some great growth areas outside of this state that really want to give back, they want to help, and they're making a difference. We have people from Washington, D.C. who want to have alumni or have students come down and do internships, and making those connections in different parts of the Capitol or in law firms or in other positions that they're in. It's a really neat way to stay connected.
And you're on the bike again, I see, bicycling all around here.
We are trying. I'm having still a little bit of, you know, the little injuries here and there, but I am enjoying biking, and did a great ride recently on the Horribly Hilly Hundreds, and
Horribly hilly hundreds?
Yeah.
That sounds painful.
This is over in the Mount Horeb and Blue Mounds State Park area, and it's the area that wasn't glaciated of the state, and you'd be surprised how many vertical feet you have to go up and down, and it's a torture. People say, how was the ride? You say it was horrible, and they all laugh because that's what it was designed for. But the biking isn't as strong this year, but I'm happy to get out anytime I can.
There you go. Well, we are out of time. I hope that you have a good month. Hope you get a chance to relax a little bit during the summer months and between everything else that's going on.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure to be here. Appreciate your work.
Mark Moaning, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. This has been the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Moaning, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.